You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Court of Appeal has heard a court case which would consider if sexual orientation should be considered under our hate speech laws. I chat to Rainbow spokesperson for Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission, Prudence Walker, about this court case and what more needs to be done to protect LGBTQ+ communities under hate speech laws. Here is that interview. Why was the Human Rights Commission involved in the court case yesterday?
Yeah, so Te Kahui Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission position is that New Zealand's hate speech laws, law is discriminatory and should include sexual orientation. So we appeared as an intervener, making the case that the exclusion of sexual orientation from civil hate speech protections is discriminatory under Section 19(1) of the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act. And the key question for the court was whether the exclusion of sexual orientation from the law is a justified limit on the right to be free from discrimination. And the Commission submitted that the Crown had not provided sufficient evidence of why it is reasonable for Section 61(1) to target race-based hate speech, but not to target sexual orientation hate speech. We, as the Commission, highlighted that similar countries criminalise hate speech on the basis of sexual orientation, and the Commission referred to actually a European High Court of Human Rights case law that convictions for hate speech directed towards gay people do not just unjustifiably interfere with the right to freedom of expression. The Commission submitted that for centuries gay people have been subject to vitriolic speech, violence and often the heavy hand of criminal law. In November 2022 and February 2023, the then Minister of Justice, Honourable Curtie Allen, referred the issue of legal responses to hate motivating offending to the Law Commission. The review was to include whether further protections should be afforded to specific groups, including rainbow communities. In March 2024, the current Minister of Justice, Honourable Paul Goldsmith, withdrew the referral of the issue to the Law Commission. So if the court finds that the limit is not justified, Mr. Hoban is seeking a declaration of inconsistency, which would notify Parliament that it has acted inconsistently with rights and would require a response. Sorry, rattling all that off.
No worries. I mean, in many ways, you kind of answered my next question, but you might have things to expand on. And what needs to change about our hate speech laws in Aotearoa to protect LGBTQIA plus communities?
Mr. Hoban's case highlights the urgent need for sexual orientation to be a protected ground within Section 61 of the Human Rights Act. So if sexual orientation was covered, the Commission would have been able to help Mr. Hoban at the outset. Instead, he's had to go from court to court to find a way to challenge the legislation. So police data between 1st of January 2022 and police data between 1st of January 2022 and 31st of January 2024 shows that they lodged 9,351 hate incidents, of which 83% were race-based. The next category of hate incidents were those on the grounds of sexual orientation. So that was 915 incidents, and that was then followed by those complaints on the basis of gender identity. So under Te Tiriti o Waitangi, the government has responsibilities to protect tangata whenua communities from harmful speech, including takatāpui Māori, that's LGBTQ+.
I also spoke to Countering Hate Speech Aotearoa CEO Paul Thistle about the mahi being done to include LGBTQ+ communities under hate speech laws by community groups, as well as the scope of what hate speech laws actually cover. Here is that interview.
Firstly, what is the importance of hate speech law generally?
Well, everyone has a fundamental human right to live their life free from the chilling effects of hate speech. So what hate speech does is it basically says to people, you don't have a right to exist in society based on some characteristic, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, saying that you don't have a right to exist in society because of that. So putting laws against hate speech is very important, but we at Countering Hate Speech Aotearoa, we also say the bar should be very high. We want as much free speech as possible, and the bar for hate speech should be quite high. And, under New Zealand law at the moment, we have a hate speech law which covers race and ethnicity, and that is quite a high bar, and no successful case has been undertaken under that law.
Why should LGBTQ plus communities be given the same protection as groups who are already protected under hate speech laws?
Well, under New Zealand law, in the Human Rights Act, race, religion, ethnicity, disability, sexual orientation, and according to a Crown Law opinion, also gender are included in the Human Rights Act. So those things are kind of innate characteristics of human beings, things that we can't change about ourselves. You know, we can change whether we're wearing a black jersey and your workplace could ban black jerseys one day and they wouldn't be infringing on your fundamental human rights. But if suddenly your workplace banned bisexual people, for instance, then that would be an infringement on your fundamental human rights.
Would something like the destruction of the rainbow crossings in Gisborne or on Karangahape Road be considered hate speech if hate speech laws protected rainbow communities?
No, it wouldn't, because the victim has to be a person. The victim has to be a person in the case of hate crime. In the case of hate speech, it's not a speech act. It was a destruction. So no, it wouldn't be.
So does this mean hate speech laws are quite specific? And if they're quite specific, why is there so much opposition?
Oh, the reason that there is opposition, and in New Zealand, the main organisation that gives this opposition is the Free Speech Union. Now, the Free Speech Union is not about free speech. It is about platforming hate speech. They are a far right-wing organisation. And if you look at all their actions, they want far right hate speech to be platformed. They brought Stefan Molyneux and Lauren Southern to New Zealand. They're extremely transphobic because Annie O'Brien is on their governing council. So they are trying to polarise this, because if we have hate speech laws, then there will be prosecutions and people will not be able to say these extreme things. And those extreme things push the Overton window of political acceptability to the right. So really, it's all a political play. It's about pushing New Zealand to the far right, and they see platforming hate speech as part of that.
What work does Countering Hate Speech Aotearoa do in this space?
Well, we've got a focus on promoting hate speech laws with a focus on trans, non-binary, gender diverse people. We take a variety of strategic actions. So strategically, we're talking with politicians about hate speech laws, getting them back on the agenda. We're thinking about writing the report that the Law Commission would have written. And tactically, right now I'm writing a letter to Inland Revenue, because the Free Speech Union are supporting an Inland Revenue employee to take Inland Revenue for a personal grievance because she expressed a gender critical view. So we do a mixture of strategic and tactical actions.
Is this something we can expect progress on, especially expanding protections to sexual orientation and gender identity?
Yes, we have. So Dr. Elizabeth Kerikeri put forward a private members bill that is now with Debbie of Te Pāti Māori, and that has a chance of passing, and that would put gender in the Human Rights Act explicitly. But as I said before, there is a Crown Law opinion from 2006 which says that gender is included in the Human Rights Act. I believe that the arc of the moral universe tends towards justice. And at Countering Hate Speech Aotearoa, we think this is a 10 to 15 year project. And we believe that these things will come into law in New Zealand within the next 10 to 15 years.
I was going to wrap up the interview there, but it did inspire just one last question. If this is a long-term project and, you know, it's going to take 10 to 15 years to implement these hate speech laws, what will happen in the meantime when hate speech is directed towards LGBTQ plus communities, as we've seen since Posy Parker? What else can be done in the interim, I suppose?
That's a very good question. So in employment contexts, employers have a right to... So if someone says an anti-LGBTQIA plus comment to you at work, there's a whole number of laws besides hate speech laws that govern that. Hate speech laws are just about really in the public arena. If someone says something hateful to you online, you can get a Harmful Digital Communications Act order. I'm actually getting one of those today. And institutions like psychologists, for instance, they can't be gender critical or say hate speech in their sessions with clients. So it's just the public sphere, the non-internet public sphere, that hate speech laws cover. There are other tactical actions and laws like the Human Rights Act, for instance, and employment workplaces that come into play.
That was Rainbow spokesperson for Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission, Prudence Walker, and Countering Hate Speech Aotearoa CEO Paul Thistle on protecting LGBTQ plus communities under hate speech laws.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.